Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Zieglersville.
That would be a little weird.
Mm. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away. It's at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. Printing plays a huge role in whatever it is that your business does. That's why you need to deal with the best. Why would you want a second-rate outfit handling your message? That's what's going to get customers in the door. It's going to keep your customers, drive repeat business. Pip Printing and Signs are the ones you need to be talking to. 30 years of experience. They have an incredible variety of services they can offer you in terms of signage and in terms of marketing. You need to go to their website, pipridgeland.com. You can get a fuller idea of everything that's available to you there with Pip Printing and Signs. And then when you make the decision, do you want to deal with Pip Printing and Signs? Call our friend Cam Baker, and he'll take it from there. Tell him you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. 601-499-5216. And guys, the Bulldog Initiative deal with them is still a go. 10% of your sale, if you want it to, will go to the Bulldog Initiative. So, I mean, you can become a Bulldog Initiative business and not spend any extra money because you're already spending money on printing every month. When you need printing, call Pip Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place for the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and you certainly are looking for it. You need the state script. You need the interlocking. You need the M over S. They've got it at College Corner. And not just for clothes, but for stuff for the car, the house, the tailgate. It's all right there. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. I got a friend coming in from out of town this weekend, and he's like, let's go get dinner. Guess where we're going? Because I want to eat the best meal in town. It's going to be at Restaurant Tyler. I would suggest you do the same. If you're here for this weekend for football, Friday night, Saturday night, dinner, Restaurant Tyler, the meal will be fantastic, I promise you. When you want the best meal in town, the place to get it is Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let me show you not only how they're going to help, where those locations are, but how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, and predict and plan for the future. Now more than ever, it's important to be able to talk to your local bankers, to be able to get on the phone when you have a question about your money. You don't want to have to deal with that big corporate bank and how they don't know you from Adam. You want to talk to people who know who you are and who value your business. They give you that at Priority One. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. We are just a couple days away now from Mississippi State versus Florida. Say what you want about the state of the teams, the win-loss records, anything like that. It's a very interesting game. It's a very interesting game in terms of both teams are desperate for wins. Both teams, their seasons kind of swing on this game. And even a win for either team might not be enough to guarantee postseason play, a loss would slam the door. I will say that now. Neither one of these teams is going to a bowl with a loss here on Saturday. And I wanted to go back. I mentioned this last week, Robbie, and then the state lost to Toledo. It kind of went out of my head for a minute because we had to cover so much other stuff. But I want to go back to 2018. Mississippi State plays Florida. Dan Mullen returns to Starkville after leaving for Gainesville. That is the last time the stadium was completely and totally sold out, like a packed house for Mississippi State football. I think that loss diverted the path of Mississippi State football. If State wins that game that season, they go 9-3. Instead of playing in the Outback Bowl, they might have been in the Citrus Bowl, might have been, you know, in contention for one of the top tier bowls. Maybe they don't play so poorly against LSU a few weeks after that. And they, you know, that game broke Mississippi State, and State has never gotten it back. State has a chance. It's not the same because winning this game doesn't put State in a bowl. This isn't going to be a nationally ranked team, but State needs this game because they need some hope that hasn't really and truly existed in Starkville. Because you think about Leach's big year, right? It really wasn't that great a year until the last game of the season. You know, they beat Ole Miss, and that's when it was like, oh, well, this was actually a really good year. Fast forward 2 weeks, Coach Leach passes away, and all of that momentum and excitement is kind of gone. State has not had that same excitement around football since they lost to Florida in 2018. They can get a measure of that back this week with a win, I think.
Yeah, just like you said, just like a little hope, like just something to build on. That's why I think this game is so important. It might take you from winning two games this year to three or four, I don't know. But at the very least, you win an SEC ball game, you got some confidence. You don't just start down this dark path early with back-to-back or three straight losses with Arizona State, Toledo, and Florida. Three games you felt like you could win preseason. And then you have this massacre of games coming up on the rest of the schedule. So I do think that this is an opportunity for Mississippi State to kind of get back in good graces, show some progress moving forward, and build on something. Even if you don't have success here in the next part of the schedule, which is going to be very difficult, you at least have an SEC win under your belt. You have – you know, the opportunity for Jeff Lebby to show something against an SEC team and build from there. It's still a hugely important ball game, I think, for Mississippi State in the future with Jeff Lebby at the helm.
I always thought that Joe Moorhead lost and never got back a big chunk of the fan base after the Florida game in his first year, because all offseason long has been like, that game was circled. People wanted to win it more than the Egg Bowl. They wanted to rub it in Dan Mullen's face. They wanted to beat him on his return to Starkville. You knew full well that you know, the next game in Starkville between Florida and Mississippi State, you didn't even know when it was at the time, because the next scheduled meeting between those two teams was 2025 in Gainesville. And even then, 7 years later, you wouldn't be sure that Mullen would still be the head coach. That was going to be your one and only shot to get him, and they missed it. And I think Joe Moorhead never got back to him. Let's fast forward, let's rewind a few further back in 2004, a very frustrating season. That game against Florida was really the highlight of the year. You took on a Florida team that you had no expectation of beating and were able to beat them. Tomorrow on the podcast, we're going to have Omar Connor join us, and he's going to talk about that game a little bit and what it meant to him and how they were able to pull off that upset. That game and this game feel very similar in that I think, you know, there was no hotter seat in college football in 2004 than Ron Zook. And when he lost that game, it was over for him. I think the same could be said for Billy Napier. Now, we're going to talk in a little bit to Graham Hall from Swamp 24/7, who talks about, you know, the sort of the nuts and bolts of that situation. But I think Billy Napier's grave is basically already dug, and maybe the coffin's already in the hole. They will put dirt on top of it if he loses this game on Saturday.
Oh yeah, I don't see there being any way that he survives if they lose, and he might not survive if they win. Yeah. And we've seen teams beat Mississippi State the last few years and fire their coach. So yeah, it's a big game for both teams though, and you know it's big in different ways. And like I said, I don't think that Billy Napier is going to survive anyway, but this might buy him a little grace and a little time winning an SEC game. I don't know. But for Mississippi State, you've got to show some signs of life here. You got to show signs of getting better and better and continuing to progress, because right now we just don't see it. Yeah. You know, you're getting run over by Toledo and Arizona State. My first thought is, what is a even with the disaster that Florida kind of is right now, what's a more talented team going to do? Team with four stars and five star players on it, what are they going to do with this defense? So can you go out there against an SEC team and prove that you belong on a field with other SEC players? That's kind of the big question that needs to be answered.
It's very interesting for a team that State doesn't play that often, how pivotal some of these games against Florida have been. Let's talk about one more in 2010. State goes to the Swamp. State had gotten off to a really good start that year, and I think they went into that game 4-2, maybe 5-2. I have to go back and look. And there was like this thought was that, boy, if State could win this game. Now, Florida ended up not being that great that year, and Urban Meyer was on his way out the door. But there was that thought process of, if State could win this game, it would really be a big statement for Mullen to go back to Florida and get the win there. One of my favorite wins in Mississippi State history, just because of the way the game was played. State threw the ball, I think, 6 times in that game and wins 10-7. And that was a program-defining win for Mississippi State. You know, the year before, State had been close in a couple of those big games. They had lost to LSU in a close game. They had lost to Florida in a game where, you know, Jonathan Banks had those big plays, and they only lost by 10, I believe. That was the game where you were just like, wow, okay, Dan Mullen, Mississippi State, they've arrived a little bit. So I find it fascinating, the history of Mississippi State, Florida, and how pivotal these games have been, despite the fact that they really only play, you know, once every decade plus or so. And this is another one here for Mississippi State. So let's look a little deeper into the game here, Robbie. I think it's as simple as this. Last week, Florida gave up 300-plus yards rushing to Texas A&M. And they only rushed, I believe it was 2.9 yards per carry. Mississippi State on the season is averaging 3.3 yards per carry. If you take out the outlier, which is Creed Rittimore, one carry for 41 yards, you're talking about 2.8, 2.7 yards per carry, something like that. These teams have struggled this season running the football and stopping the run. I think it's just as simple as whoever does that on Friday, on Saturday, wins the game. Whoever can run the football and stop the run, I mean, it's as basic a tenet of football as exists. Stop the run, control the line of scrimmage, run the football, you win. I feel like that is absolutely the difference on this game Saturday.
Yeah, it could very well be. And early on in the game, too, whoever's having the success early, that's going to be huge. If Mississippi State comes out and punches them in the mouth early, has like a 14-0 lead, I think the game's over. It's hard to imagine Florida getting up off the mat after that. But, you know, conversely, that might be, you know, the same thing for Florida if they're able to get an early lead. It certainly seemed that way against Toledo. Now, State was able to kind of get back up and get back in the game against Arizona State. They were not against Toledo. So I think the starting off fast has been the biggest issue for Mississippi State the last 2 weeks. And I'm sure we'll delve into it when we do our three P's, but that feels like the most important thing is whether it's running the ball or passing, whatever, or stopping it, State has got to have a good start in that game. And that probably does mean being able to stop the run, get off the field relatively quickly on a defensive possession, be able to dictate the line of scrimmage on the offensive side of the ball. Those things are really important for any team trying to find success, but especially for Mississippi State, a team that hasn't done that yet. They didn't do that against Eastern Kentucky. So the hope is you're just having some of these, you know, first game roadblocks, speed bumps that you're you know, experiencing some issues on the front line, on the offensive line, and, you know, things just aren't lining up just yet, and things begin to come together. That'd be great if this is the week that happened. If it doesn't happen this week, my prediction is not going to happen.
Right.
They're not going to control the line of scrimmage against Georgia, Tennessee, no. Texas, no. Ole Miss, anybody like that. So this has got to be the week.
I'm one of those, you know, you and I, we're not coaches, never going to be. And I always, you know, I think about personnel a lot. And if I'm Jeff Lebby, which I'm not, much shorter, I'm going a lot of Johnny Daniels and Xavier Gayton this week. Devon Booth has been a huge disappointment through three games. Now, I know the offensive line has been a problem, but he hasn't done anything. He's been the worst of the three. He's averaging 2.9 per carry. Kevon Lee, I think you just kind of know what you got with him, right? If you need 3 yards, maybe you can put him in. If you know you need somebody to just move the pile, but the explosive plays aren't there. I know the game was decided when Daniels had some success last week, but he had some success that the other guys had not had. Gayton hasn't carried the ball since the first game, but I'd like to see a little bit of a youth movement at this point, just because I don't think the chances of making a big run here are very high. But two, he looked the most explosive out of all of them against the same team. So I don't know what the plan's going to be. I don't know what that rotation's going to be like, but I would like to see Xavier Gayton get into the game when the game is still happening on Saturday. And I think Johnny Daniels did enough last Saturday to draw the start.
Well, and if your plan is to redshirt Xavier Gayton, this is, you know, you're probably not going to play him against Georgia and all those teams. So why not get him a rep or two here against Florida?
Or if your plan's not to redshirt him, or at some point,
if you're not redshirting, he should be playing.
This guy gives us a chance to, you know, gives us something the other guys don't give. He's explosive. Let's put him out there. You know, I think in this day and age of college football, with the transfer portal, you can't play the whole, we're going to redshirt him and see. How guys want to play, and they're going to find places to go play if you're not giving them that opportunity. And if I'm Xavier Gayton, and I see the three guys in front of me aren't getting it done, and I'm not getting an opportunity, that's what gets my mind going. So we'll see if that is indeed the case. We'll see if there's any changes in the starting lineup. You certainly can't tell from the depth chart. Depth chart's been the same all 4 weeks.
I believe so. I haven't examined it down to the, you know, every position.
It was the same last week. Over it every week. Assume. Yeah.
I mean, Calvin Dinkins has been on there every week, I think.
That being said, as we're recording, it's 2:00 on Wednesday. The SEC's injury reports should be out by this time tomorrow. So we'll have a full idea of who will play and who will not when we record the 3 P's tomorrow afternoon. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. If you're going out this weekend, we've got so many great steakhouses here in the state of Mississippi. You can't help but run into one. So enjoy a great steak this weekend while you're watching college and pro football. Nothing says football like beef. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. You certainly are looking for it. When you come to Starkville and you want a great meal, head to the Cotton District, head to Two Brothers, or head over to the Older Brother, one of Starkville's newest restaurants, but it's basically become one of its best in just a short period of time. It has the 100% Edna Haydad seal of approval as one of her favorite places to eat. If my mom likes to eat there, well, then you know that it's going to be good. Enjoy the Older Brother, enjoy Two Brothers, both in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and they've been doing it now for 50 years. 50. 50.
50.
Okay. Well, I want you to get your 50 in there. When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if something goes wrong and you need service, it's not a 1-800 number. It's not being on hold for 45 minutes. It's not we'll be there in a week to 10 days. Till then, we'll see you. Again, imagine if your copier goes out. Can you wait a week to 10 days for that thing to get fixed? No, nobody can. That's why you need to deal local with Advantage Business Systems, because they're in Mississippi. They can fix your problem a lot of times the same day. That's the difference between being a neighbor and being a number. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you're at the game this Saturday, a trip to Maroon & Co. needs to be on the list. Before the game, after the game, when you need Mississippi State gear and you're in Starkville, the place to go is Maroon & Company. Great, great selection. Stuff you cannot find anywhere else. Everybody else has kind of got the same stuff, the same selection of polos and hats and everything else. Not Maroon & Company. They've got an incredible selection that you can't find anywhere else. They are the only ones doing the Bulldog Initiative gear that the coaches are wearing. So if you want to dress like those guys, you want to dress like them, you have to go to Maroon & Co. Use our promo code, 15% off with code THUNDER15. That's regular price items only. Some exclusions do apply. When you want to go to the game this fall, when you want to be wearing the best maroon and white gear, the place to go is Maroon & Co. Earlier today, I talked to Graham Hall. He covers the Florida Gators for Swamp 24/7. Wanted to get his thoughts on the situation down there at Florida with Billy Napier and, of course, this game. Let's go down to my interview with Florida beat writer Graham Hall. Joining us now, Graham Hall. He covers the Florida Gators for Swamp 24/7. And, Graham, you and I talked back in the summer when I was going around doing opponent previews. And we both agreed, I think, at that time that this was a pivotal game for both of these teams, that this was going to be a game that determined a lot about the season for these teams. Somehow, in the weeks since then, it has gotten more crucial, more pivotal for both of these sides. Let's start with the really hard question that's going on in Gainesville. If Florida loses this game, do they let Billy Napier go after it?
I think it's a fair question. I think that a lot remains to be seen here. You know, Florida has a bye week after this, and if you're going to transition to an interim head coach, that's the ideal time to do it. Give them, what, 11 days to prepare with someone new, restore some confidence, let them adjust to their newfound responsibilities. That would make a ton of sense rather than doing it when you got a game 6 days later. I do think that would make a ton of sense. Now, I also think that there's an argument to be made that Florida should maybe not pull the plug just quite yet here. Not saying that necessarily Florida is going to turn it around and go on a, you know, 7-game win streak when you look at the rest of their schedule here. But I do think that from a financial perspective, you're going to pay him whether he's here or not. Who on the coaching staff is well-equipped to lead Florida to being even more competitive? I don't know if there's a name out there, considering that Billy Napier is the offensive play caller, and he's so heavily involved in so many aspects of that program that you could see Florida's competitive chances decline a little bit. So maybe they try and ride it out a little bit longer. They're not going to be able to hire one of those top head coaches right now in the middle of the season, whether it's a Lane Kiffin, you know, a Dan Lanning, whoever they decide to target out there. Those teams are going to be in the college football playoff conversation, and they're not going to leave their programs in the middle of the year. So you might as well wait it out, continue raising the funds for the buyout, scour what's out there, see how these coaches do, and then keep assessing. But it definitely is going to be even more deafening, the calls for Billy Napier's tenure to end, if Florida goes up there to Starkville this weekend and falls to the Bulldogs.
Another thing we talked about back during the summer was DJ Lagway, Graham Mertz. How does Florida incorporate Lagway into the offense? He's too talented to sit out. I think we made you may have made a Chris Leak, Tim Tebow comparison to that. I thought Lagway was incredibly impressive against Samford. Obviously, the level of competition jumped up last week, but Mertz was okay last week. He's 12 of 15. Couldn't throw the ball down the field, though. Is there a scenario here where Lagway just takes over? What's the quarterback situation going to be coming into this game?
I think that Florida's going to be a little bit more flexible with their rotating at the position. I think you're going to see both guys early, and that whoever has more success early on is going to get extended series in that contest. Last week against Texas A&M, you saw Florida be really strict when it came to rotating the quarterbacks. Neither one of those guys got consecutive series. I could see that changing, absolutely. I think the key here is which quarterback gives you the best chance, not at, you know, running the offense effectively, which is something that Billy Napier has reiterated is one of the key components, but who can navigate the issues along the offensive line the best. You look at Lagway's athleticism, his ability to step out, get outside the pocket, use his legs to pick up some chunk yardage outside of the play call. You look at Florida's offensive line, they have not protected very well. Lagway maybe gives you a better chance to create downfield explosive plays even when the pocket collapses. Graham Mertz took a lot of contact last year. He took a lot of contact, obviously, when he got knocked out of that game against Miami. If the pocket continues to be an issue, I could see that being another reason why Lagway gets some extended time here. But I do think that it's quite clear that this is still Graham Mertz's team. He is still the leader within that building, not just as a six-year quarterback. He is the guy that Florida trusts the most to manage the offense, and he's going to be the starter until something happens, until Lagway comes out against SEC competition and absolutely tears it up, which it may be this week, it may be in the weeks ahead, who knows when it's going to be. It's going to be Graham Mertz who is going to continue to see the field consistently and get the first snap for Florida on offense.
Running the football is going to be key in this game. And Mississippi State has been bad at it this year. Florida has not been great at it this year in their games against power competition. State hasn't been good against it, and they haven't played really power competition. So that's a really scary thought when you look at State's schedule. Is this game just as simple for you as whoever can run the football and stop the run is probably going to win?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it comes down to the line of scrimmage, especially whichever defensive line is able to get penetration in the backfield there, whoever's able to open up holes in the run game is going to have a really good chance at emerging victorious on Saturday. I do think that for Florida, Billy Napier, what he has long done in his coaching career is establish the run, get some balance on offense, and then the passing game opens itself up. But the Gators have had to force a lot of passes when they haven't really desired to do that because they haven't run the ball effectively. Behind Montrell Johnson, you have a stable of underclassmen there, along with a JUCO transfer in Jacoby Jackson. Montrell Johnson can be explosive. You saw it against Miami. He had that 71-yard touchdown run, but he hasn't really had a lot of open holes to run between the tackles so far this season. Florida's going to have to find a way, maybe get a little bit creative with their play calling and their scheme to be able to run the football, because it's just not working what they've been doing. They're going to keep trying until they absolutely have to give up at running the football, but that is going to be a huge key in this game. Whichever team can run the football is going to give themselves a really good chance of getting that win on Saturday.
On the defensive side, Florida giving up over 300 yards rushing a week ago to Texas A&M. What do they need to do there to adjust?
I mean, set the edge, get pressure in the backfield, scheme better. I think that you look at a lot of the play calling decisions on defense here. This is a team that is not succeeding in cover one, cover three. You look at how they're playing off the ball, when they're choosing to blitz, and the penetration, like I said, that they're getting off the edge. That has just been an issue for Florida, not even just this season, going back last year. You have some guys who have talent at that defensive end, F position, they like to call it there. Tyreek Sapp, Justice Boone coming back. You have a highly touted freshman in LJ McCray. But outside of that Samford game, they have not pressured the quarterback. They didn't get a sack last week against Texas A&M. Again, a mobile quarterback in Marcel Reed. And they've struggled with mobile quarterbacks, like I said, dating back not even just to last season, but really throughout Billy Napier's entire tenure here in Gainesville. They're going to have to find a way to have some success with the pass rush. If they don't affect the quarterback and Chapin has some time in the pocket here, the Gators could certainly be in a difficult situation here against this Mississippi State offense. And that's going to be one of the keys to the game, certainly. You have to get pressure from the front seven, whether it's blitzing with your linebackers as well, taking advantage of the speed that you got at end. If they can't do that, then they're going to have trouble to stop whatever offense is out there, not even just Mississippi State. And you know that there's some talented ones the rest of the way that they're going to have to face.
I feel like both of these teams, to say confidence is low, is probably not an understatement. And I really do feel like if one team can get out on the other one quickly, there it's going to be a long day for that other team. I don't see a close game here. I think I don't know who wins, but I don't think it's going to be a close game. Would you agree with where I'm going there, or do you think either team can keep it close if they fall behind quick?
I think that whatever team falls into an early hole is going to struggle to come back. I do think that for Florida, from a confidence standpoint, they really need to execute on those opening drives, not fall into a double-digit hole like they did against Miami and Texas A&M. Otherwise, you're going to see that morale take another hit for the Gators. I do think that getting some early momentum is going to be key. And if they can't have success with, you know, fans love to say that scripted drive, if you don't have success with the scripted drive, you're really kind of doubting your entire game plan, and you're putting the onus of adjusting on the head coach. And I don't know if Billy Napier has really inspired belief, not just within his team, but in the fan base, that they're going to be able to adjust to what the defense is showing throughout the contest. So getting some early momentum is going to be key. I know that, you know, against Texas A&M, they fell into that 33-7 hole, got some touchdowns there in the second half. So I'm not saying they can't do it necessarily here. And I do think that that second half against the Aggies was critical to the belief a little bit, to not get entirely blown out based on the scoreboard there in Gainesville. But Florida, I think, is going to need to start early. If they fall into an early hole, they could certainly face a double-digit loss up there in Starkville. Same thing, though, I think, with the Bulldogs. If Florida can go out there and have, you know, execute, no matter who is under center, get an early double-digit lead and stop this Mississippi State offense and go into the second half with a double-digit lead, I could easily see this being a three-score game. If not, if both teams are trading scores, given the holes that they have on defense, I do think it could potentially be a close game there in the fourth quarter, and that is going to make things really, really interesting here, because the Gators have not won too many narrow contests. Last year, they won one at South Carolina, but they fell to Arkansas. They blew a chance to beat Missouri last year when they had a 4th-and-17 and gave up a massive gain there late in the season. So certainly that is a factor for Florida right now, is making sure that they stay out of a close contest heading into the fourth quarter, because I don't think people are going to be too optimistic that they're going to be able to close it out if that's the case.
Only about 30 seconds left. Every week on the podcast, we do an offensive and defensive playmaker, and then we do an X factor, a guy maybe not the player of the game, but could make a big play to swing the game. Who is that guy for Florida?
I think Montrell Johnson just, you know, he may get 2-3 yards on every single run, but if he can get a 60-yard gain, a 70-yard gain, and Florida can find a way to score quickly, that's going to be huge. Another one is Eugene Wilson III. You know, he didn't play against Texas A&M. He's their most dynamic wide receiver. What is going to be his status for this contest? He was a game-time decision against the Aggies. We're going to find out on the availability report what his status could be for this contest. He's certainly one. And then Lagway is a pretty obvious one, I think, for Florida. If you can find some success, some explosive plays from your freshman quarterback, that's obviously going to change the game. The Gators don't score quickly very well. If they can do that with Lagway or Johnson and get Eugene Wilson involved, they're going to have a lot better chance at getting this win on Saturday.
Graham Hall, Swamp 24/7, man. Thanks so much for your time. I'll see you in the press box on Saturday.
Looking forward to it. Looking forward to getting to Starkville for the first time.
All right, thanks to Graham. Appreciate his time. Really good stuff there. Looking forward to meeting him for the first time in person this Saturday. All right, tomorrow's show is the 3 P's, brought to you by the good folks over at Sanders Rentals. We'll have a preview, or we'll have our playmakers, and we'll have our predictions for Mississippi State, Florida. Also on the podcast feed tomorrow will be my interview with Omar Connor. We will relive the 2004 Mississippi State win over the Florida Gators, where Ron was zooked or croomed, however you want to look at it. We'll talk about that game tomorrow. It should be a lot of fun to catch up with Omar, who's now an assistant coach down at Hines Community College. So we'll talk to him tomorrow. Until then, for Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Oh, one thing before I go. I'm sorry. I meant to bring this up yesterday. I forgot. Robbie, I'm sure you saw on Twitter where our friend Peter Burns had a very scary incident in Missouri. Did you see this thread?
I did.
Yeah. Was out to eat with some folks from the SEC network and ended up having an issue and choking, and had four different people attempt the Heimlich on him until finally the fourth one was successful. But a very scary incident. He thought he was on the way out there for a second. And so I spoke with Peter. I texted him. I was like, man, I'm glad you're okay. You know, you let that guy know if he's ever in Starkville, Robbie and I will take care of him. And he said, hey, really appreciate it, Brian. Thanks for that. Make sure you tell your listeners the importance of CPR training and rescue, Heimlich maneuver, all of that. So if you are not trained in that, and then it can't hurt to have that training. You never know when something like that's going to happen. It could be you. It could be one of your friends that you need to have that training. You need to have that knowledge. So we give you our idea that you need to go after that. So check your local community centers, your local hospitals, things like that. See if they're offering those classes. And I would certainly suggest taking them, because it's a cliche, but it's true. The life you save could be your own in that situation. So glad Peter's okay. And glad that I believe his name was Coach Foster, was on site there to take care of Peter. Also, Peter, if you're listening, chew your food. Chew your food, man. We can't have you taking yourself out like that. We got to make sure you're okay. Love, Peter.
My dad, one time when I was a kid, started choking on a piece of steak.
Oh.
And got, like, to the point, like, he was blue.
Ooh.
And
who got him?
Okay, so I ran across the street asking for help because I was, like, 8 or 9 years old. My sister's boyfriend went and called 119 instead of 911.
Oh, no.
It was a complete disaster. And then the boyfriend, uh-huh, the sister that is the boyfriend that called 119,
yeah,
she just stuck her finger directly down his throat and pulled the piece of steak out.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So my sister saved my dad's life, not with the Heimlich, by just grabbing the steak out of his
getting
throat.
In there. Well, you got what you got to do, man.
But he was like blue, like not breathing, like it.
That's
he almost
be
died.
The scariest thing, because you realize your brain, you know what's happening.
Yeah,
yeah. That's got to be awful.
And you can't do anything. You can't breathe.
Glad Daddy was all right as well. Which sister was
Miranda?
Okay,
she's the take charge.
I'm glad to hear
sister
it.
For sure.
But
We are really happy that Peter made it through this. Great guy.
Yeah.
Great personality on SEC Network.
Yeah.
They were eating right across from us at SEC Media Days. I don't know what I would have done had he choked on a steak or something there.
Well, I mean, I know how to do the Heimlich.
You and I would have been beating it out of him.
Oh, yeah. This guy, Coach Foster, broke four of his ribs doing the Heimlich, but I'd rather have broken ribs than the other side of that coin.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, guys, if you're not taking those classes, if you're not trained in it, might be a good idea. So, Peter asked me to put that message out there. I will do that for him. Have a great Thursday, guys. Back with you on Friday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.